Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Need to fear. Underdog is here. Emay, Spingen, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. It is time for Silly Underdog Picks, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Willie Donick, take it away. Willie, oh, Willie D, Willie D.
Ooh, oh, 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 Willie. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your commissioner speaking. Willie Donick here with you from Bridgestone Arena, Barrel House, Predators and Hurricanes tonight, the final contest before the Christmas break. But we have work to do with the Silly Underdog Picks, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. It's been a fine season, and we have uncharted territory. Well, it's been a fine season for one of the competitors, no question about it. Controversial as it may have been, and really, people, it is a race for second place when you get down to it. Chris Sanders has dominated, but we have an unprecedented second bowl draft because of the new college football playoff, which brings more games to the table. We were able to split up the bowl draft. Instead of picking three games, we picked two for the first segment of the bowls and the first round of the playoffs. And now another draft of two games, which includes the second round of the college football playoffs. That would be the quarterfinal games. So we bring to the microphone Chris Sanders, who has dominated. He has dominated the field so far this year. And I'm disappointed to report that Chase McCabe is a no-show for the final two picks. He's taking the day off, and he can't even spend 15 minutes with us to pick his last two. He has delegated to David James. What do you think of that, Chris? Is that just waving the white flag or what?
He's waving the white flag. There's a song that I sing, Know When It's Over, and he's been singing that song since day two.
Since day two. Well, you did get out to a big lead. Since day two, he's singing, damn you! So there's some Ebenezer Scrooge going on for the rest of the panel as we pick these games. Adam and D-Mace, they're kind of down because they know they can't catch. But D-Mace, I think you're trying to get that competitive fire in your belly.
Yes, I still got it.
Because you want to at least get the silver medal. Right now, you and Chase are crowded on the bronze medal stand. You know, they have the Chris is on the gold medal stand. Chris, you're high up there. Then right now, Adam is on the second place stand on the silver medal. And then Chase and D-Mace.
That's
Chase is a big guy. So there's not a lot of room on that stand. And so D-Mace is kind of balanced. He's in there.
I got the inside.
You got the inside. Yeah. You're trying to give him that elbow to push him off. That's what it is.
They had to build an extension for the remainder of the bronze medal.
I'm still fighting.
Hey, Adam, congratulations, Adam.
Okay, I'm going to say thank you because I'm the only one who picked a winning bowl game the last time around. So I will gladly accept your congratulations.
Okay. So with that in mind, let's do a quick recap, and then we'll go over the order of picking for the bowl draft part two. Remember, the underdogs must win outright. No points for a cover. Yeah, well, that's how it works.
Being first to last.
Adam had the first pick. He started in last place, so he had the first pick last week. He had Tennessee, a 7.5-point dog at Ohio State. It was annihilation. I was surprised. But the Buckeyes carved up the Vols from the start and sent thousands of Tennessee fans home very disappointed and cold and being harassed by the Buckeye fans.
It was laughable.
Which I do have to ask, like all the people on Vol Twitter, they were saying, we got treated so mean by the Buckeye fans. Mean to us. Well, you came in there. You were like, it's an invasion, man. Exactly. We're going to take over Columbus. We're going in there. You expected them to just roll out the red carpet and say, come on in, people. Have a great time in our stadium. Come on in. Have a blast. Can I get you a hot chocolate?
See, that's what happens.
Yeah.
That's
oh, they were mean to us on the way back to the car.
That's what happens when you go up north in the middle of December. Uh-huh. That's what uh-huh. happens.
Absolutely.
They won the Midwest nice. That's all it was.
That was a beatdown from the start. Tennessee got
down. Chris, what are you laughing about? You've been excommunicated exactly. from the Ohio.
Chris, wow. you can't take no credit in this, Chris. Stop it.
Hey.
You okay. have been... You have been John Wick, excommunicated.
You've been banished.
Banded Arnold, Chris Sanders here over
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
Hey, man, Benedict where's the Christmas Arnold. Love? Hold up. Where's the Christmas love at? Why don't we say that?
It was gone once you picked Michigan.
You love games?
Exactly. Chris is like, I don't know what you're talking
I'm
about.
I'm sending you a big old brick of coal, my friend.
So D-Mace had the second pick, and he selected another beatdown. He had Indiana, a 7.5-point dog at Notre Dame. Notre Dame set the tone from the start and never looked back. Indiana did score a couple touchdowns miraculously in the last 2 minutes to make it look a little closer than it was, but Notre Dame won very easily in that one. Chase had Tulane with his first pick, a 14-point dog against the Gators in the, what's it called, the Gasparilla?
Gasparilla, yep.
I like that, man.
Gasparilla. The Gasparilla.
I think for a while, like, Tulane wasn't going to score. Yeah. They got destroyed by the Gators.
They got mollywopped.
They did.
What Chase didn't realize was that Tulane's starting quarterback, who played a big part in its success, transferred
and did
not play
the game.
He didn't realize.
The transferring at this time of the year is madness. Like, Ohio State put their backup quarterback in. Mm-hmm. He's in the portal.
Yeah, he's in a portal.
He's in the portal.
As Chase would say, let's move on.
Right. So there's a lot of strange things going on with the portal and who's in, who's out.
Stop this,
that can definitely affect these games. Chris Sanders had two picks, and of course, he's just playing for fun. He had SMU.
Absolutely.
8.5-point dog at Penn State. That was a mismatch. And of course, I did ask the question when they put the brackets out there to you guys. I was like, when Penn State was waiting for the last team to get announced who they were playing, I was like, who do you think James Franklin would rather see up there, SMU or Alabama?
Ooh.
It was SMU, and they whipped SMU.
But Penn State offense is horrible. Their offense scored 7 points, 10 points. The defense scored the other 21. Their offense is
crazy.
They're horrible.
SMU did not have a happy trip to Happy Valley. Then Chris selected West Virginia. They did have a good chance against Memphis. That was a 4-point dog. David, you are the resident Memphis guy. Tell me about that game, 42-37. I didn't watch it, but it was a shootout.
I was so nervous just because, like, Memphis is just – they've been up and down this entire season. And it's just like when they were up, I was like, all right, here we go. And when Elijah Herring caught that interception and didn't go down and, like, almost lost it, my heart sank. And all of Memphis Twitter was just going bananas after that.
So West Virginia falls 42-37 to the Tigers, who ended up with what, David, 11 wins?
Yes.
11 wins on the year. Pretty good year for Memphis.
Yes.
Chase took Clemson with his second pick, 11-point dogs against Texas. Ooh. Clemson, of the four, put up the best fight. They were way behind. They did cut it to 7.
Yeah.
And with plenty of time left, and then Texas responded with a big play to go back up by 2 touchdowns. So Clemson falls against the Longhorns. D-Mace had Western Kentucky, a 9.5-point dog against James Madison in the bowl game. 27-17, James Madison wins it. The Dukes knock off the Hilltoppers, so no dice for Derek there. They didn't even cover. And then Adam, with the final pick, scores the only points of the draft. Sam Houston State, a 6-point dog against Georgia Southern.
Yeah,
they
whatever.
Win it, 31-26. So, Adam, were you tuned in
Bearcats.
To the play-by-play over with Sam Houston?
No, he wasn't.
Do you know Sam?
And does he live in Houston?
I don't know Sam. I don't know Sam personally. I do know that it's Bearcats with a K, which I find to be interesting. Either way, go Bearcats. So I'm happy for Sam Houston.
Yay.
I did not watch a... Hey, you know what? I have so far. I am walking past Chris. I mean, I'm walking past Derek, walking past Chase, onto that silver medal stand, my friend.
Hey, that is correct.
Don't get used to it.
So, for those who have not followed the competition, Chris has 5 wins on the year. He has 79 points. He has 5 wins for 79 points. That gives you an idea how big the underdogs were in the 5 games. Huge performance by Chris Sanders.
Right.
Now
Thank
in
you.
Second place. Adam has 32 points.
Fight.
and 4 wins. Chase and D-Mace have 29.5 each. And Chase, with this huge battle for second, chooses to delegate to David Jayne. So, David, are you feeling the pressure here? I mean, this is big. A silver medal is nothing to sneeze at.
Chase mailed it in already.
Listen.
Chase mailed it in. He's mailed it.
I am very nervous, but I have good faith in myself because I know ball. That's all I'm telling myself.
Okay.
I know ball. That's all I'm saying to myself.
I think if you get
David,
a silver medal for Chase, Adam, I nominate David for a raise from Chase McKay. We're going
to
put
a position
together.
I was just about to say that if David gets Chase to finish in second place, there should be a nice, big, fat Christmas bonus for David.
I agree.
That's all I'm saying.
Listen, as a selfishly, I agree, you know.
Me too.
And now, knowing Chase,
we agree as well.
Knowing,
that's what happens when the boss skips out on the competition.
Exactly.
Now, it could be bonus that it was in Christmas Vacation, right? The Jelly of the Month Club. Yeah. You get the envelope. You think it's the big check for the bonus, and it's a membership to the Jelly of the Month Club.
That's what's going to be my bonus.
That could be an underhanded thing. Chris, you had a comment.
No, I just want to say congratulations, D-Mace.
Can we move on? We got to get to our picks.
Right. D-Mace turns the other cheek. And he does have the first pick in part two. Because Adam, in moving to second, he does slide down in the draft order a little bit. So D-Mace will pick first and then last. Chase will pick second and seventh. So David, take note. Adam will have the third pick and the sixth pick. And Chris will pick fourth and fifth. So D-Mace, get it started.
Go green, go white.
Let's go. I'm still fighting. I am still fighting. Okay? Unlike Chase. This is who I'm going to pick. I am going, because I need the points. I'm going with Washington State over, I just had it. Who are they?
Syracuse.
Yes. Washington State over Syracuse. Give me Washington State. I need the 16.5 points.
The Cougars of Washington State are a 16-point dog. I don't know if there's been a mass exodus. I believe there has. Isn't their quarterback a sought-after guy in the portal right now? Do I have that right?
Uh-huh.
Anybody know that?
I believe so.
I was going to pick that.
So we'll have to see what they bring to the table. But, hey, you never know. 16-point dog against Syracuse. I also think I've got this right, and I don't know if he's playing in the bowls. I have not studied up on the Holiday Bowl, but Syracuse's quarterback was Ohio State's quarterback last year.
What?
Isn't that right?
Correct. Yep.
What? Kyle McCord.
Kyle McCord. Who's had a really nice year. This is how crazy it is. Ohio State was a pretty good team last year. I could not remember who their quarterback was. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew that C.J. Stroud was there, and then I was like, who was their quarterback last year? I couldn't remember. I had to go look it up, and it's Kyle McCord who quarterbacked Syracuse. All right. So Washington State is the pick in the Holiday Bowl. And that brings us to Chase McCabe, who has delegated his pick to David Jaynes.
Behold the king, the king of kings. On your knees, dog.
All right, boys. So it was a tough decision to make here just because – you know, there's a lot of pressure on me to get the right pick for Chase. Not really. Right. Chase isn't putting any pressure on me, but I want Chase to have a winning record. I want Chase to win this, or at least get second place, not win this, because there's no chance for us to win. So I'm going Arkansas State over Bowling Green.
Okay. Arkansas State.
7.5. The
against
68
Bowling Green.
Ventures Bowl. That's what it says.
The 68 Ventures Bowl.
Yes.
This will be played at Hancock Whitney Stadium in Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile, Alabama.
Hey, Mobile. I went to Mobile for the Senior Bowl.
The 68 Ventures Bowl.
I have a Mobile.
So now David said he knows ball. What do we know about Arkansas State? Do we know anything about them?
I know it's in Arkansas. That's about it.
He got you on that. Okay.
Arkansas is a state that I do know.
That's true. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay, so that pick is in the books. That brings us to Adam, who's trying to hold on to second place in the competition.
All righty then. I think that I am going to take a bit of a big swing myself just to give myself some breathing room here. And now I just lost it. So let's see if I can find it. I am going to take, where did it go? I am going to take the Louisiana Ragin' Cajun.
Damn!
Over the Texas Christian Horned Frogs in the, is it Isleta, New Mexico Bowl? I don't know how to pronounce that first word, but in the New Mexico Bowl, give me the Ragin' Cajuns over TCU, Louisiana, plus 13.
Okay.
This game will be played on Saturday. For all that want to watch, it will start at 1:15 p.m. on ESPN. If you'd like to watch the New Mexico Bowl, Louisiana, the Ragin' Cajuns, 12.5-point dogs against TCU. All right, that brings us to Chris Sanders for two picks. Trying to, he's like the guy in the Tour de France right now. You know, the leader on the last day. He's going to, what is it, the Champs-Élysées? You know, you're just kind of parading around for the fans. And it's inevitable that he's the champion. He's got the yellow jersey on. He's, you know, he's saluting the fans. He's just cruising on the bike right now to the finish line.
And listening to truth.
Before we get that pick, Chris, Chris, make your first pick. We will go to break, and then we will get your other pick on the other side. Okay. So keep your first pick here.
Appreciate it, Adam. Thanks.
One more time, D-Mates. You get to hear Lionel Richie.
Gosh. We don't want to see you. I don't.
That's Lionel Richie with the Jerry curl, too. And he had on a white sweater. Didn't he have on a white sweater?
I just imagine Chris Sanders with a Jerry curl.
The video also had the Jerry curl look.
Exactly.
The look at the time.
And what he had a turtleneck tucked in.
Wasn't she blind?
She was blind, right? She was making a claymation of him in her mind. This is how I see you. Is how the video did. Right? Very touching.
Thanks.
Very touching.
Well, y'all going to see this dub, though.
We're making fun of Lionel. We're making fun of Sanders. All right, what do you got, Chris?
I'm just going to rub this thing in. It is Duke over Mississippi State. No cheers?
Let's go to break.
Wait, I've got to find this game. Duke
doesn't exist.
Yes, it does.
It's Duke and Ole Miss, Mississippi State.
Exactly. Ole Miss.
See, he didn't get the right state. He didn't get the right school.
it doesn't exist.
I must have read it
wrong. This is what's driving me crazy.
Mississippi State wasn't even good enough to make a bowl game. What is
Chris,
this?
Just so far ahead of everybody else. He doesn't even pay attention to which team is playing in the
bowl. It's a school in Mississippi. That's all he knows.
That's exactly.
Okay, so I'm presuming he'll take Duke. A 15-point dog against Ole Miss in the Gator Bowl down in Jacksonville.
Duke is going to win it.
And even I hope that Duke loses this game now, Chris, just so you know. Even I am hoping Duke loses this game. And that's a big deal.
I'm messing twice in a row.
All right, let's take our quick timeout, and then we'll come out and make the final round of picks. Chris will have the first pick on the other side, then Adam, Chase, and D-Mace as we round out the bowl draft part two of the Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, right here on 102.5 The Game.
D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. It's time for round two of our Silly Underdog Picks Bowl Draft, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. And I forgot to mention in the first segment that we want your pick as well. We need someone to represent the people. Call us at 615-737-1025. You have to call 615-737-1025. If you pick a winner, you will go to see Gary Clark Jr. at the Ryman Auditorium on Friday, March 7th. You'll win a pair of tickets to that show. So call us 615-737-1025 and get your silly underdog pick ready for us. Willie, I turn it back over to you.
All right, let's go to the round two of the bowl draft, and we start with Chris Sanders.
I am going to go with UConn over UNC, plus 3.
Ah, I see. Okay. UConn is a 3-point dog taking on North Carolina, who I guess is not going to be coached by Bill Belichick. Will he be at the game? Like, this will be the whole broadcast is going to be all about Bill Belichick, right, taking over the program very shortly. But in the meantime, they're playing the Huskies of UConn, who are going to try to spoil the party. So UConn, so I guess Mac Brown is going to be coaching his last game, right? Not Mac Jones.
I believe actually, that Freddie Kitchens is going to be coaching.
Freddie Kitchens. Freddie Kitchens? The former Alabama quarterback? Wow.
And
that
the ill-fated coach of the Cleveland Browns.
Yes.
That guy has got some stories to tell. Freddie Kitchens, he's been everywhere. Yes. Hasn't he? Okay. So that's interesting. UConn,
I just want to point out, Chris, if you think you're getting back on my good side because you picked UConn to beat Carolina after you picked Duke to beat Ole Miss, you're gravely mistaken, my friend. I'm just letting you know that right now.
I thought we were pals. I thought we were pals.
We'll be pals. We will be pals after this competition is over.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Adam.
That game, by the way, is being played in Fenway Park. Fenway Park in Boston. All right. Adam Vingan has his final pick, trying to hold on to the silver medal.
Indeed. I'm going to take this down to beautiful Camping World Stadium in Orlando, Florida, where I will take the Fighting Illini of Illinois to defeat South Carolina in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, which is a very strange combination, Cheez-Its and citrus, two things that don't go together. But I will take Illinois to upset South Carolina in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl.
Yes. Once upon a time, right down the road from my high school, Winter Park, I used to take the drive to the old Citrus Bowl every New Year's Day and watch. I believe I watched seven consecutive Citrus Bowls live in person.
Was UT in all of them?
Hey, I didn't say that. That was D-Mace. I was not trying to take a pot shot at the Volunteers.
Derek Mason front stabbing the balls there.
That was a front stabbing.
A lot of front stabbing on this show.
Hey, you can't spell citrus without UT.
Now I can't even find this game. What's the line on the game, Adam? I don't even know.
I have it as South Carolina minus 9.5.
What?
9.5.
Wow. We got to double check that one.
Hold on. Okay. We do have to
I have South Carolina minus 9.5. I usually look at ESPN. Okay. ESPN. But well, usually the lines are not that much different.
Yeah, but we got to find this.
Yeah, it is 9.5. He's right.
Even on CBS?
Yeah.
That's right.
I looked on the one Adam uses.
South Carolina is a 9.5 point dog against Illinois?
Their favorite.
No, Illinois. Okay,
so Illinois.
He has Illinois, yeah.
Okay. I'm taking Illinois over South Carolina.
I was reminiscing about my days in the Citrus Bowl, and I got confused. Yeah. All right.
Yes. Snap citrus. Back into reality, Willie Donlick. Yeah. There you
Cheez-Its
go.
Cheez-Its and citrus. That's going to be a New Year's Day tradition for Adam. All right, let's move on to Chase McCabe.
All right, boys and girls.
And David James taking the pick.
Exactly. So I'm going to go down to good old Alabama Birmingham Bowl. And I'm choosing Vandy. Give me the Commodores.
Okay. All right. It is Vanderbilt, who has been a pick very often this year. They are a big theme of this underdog competition because they have won many times as not only an underdog, but a significant underdog. In fact, it's one of the big reasons that Chris Sanders has the lead he has in this competition. But this time, they're only a 2.5-point dog against Georgia Tech down in Birmingham. Diego Pavia will be playing, and he has been granted eligibility for next year. How about that? That was big. That was big news.
Anchor down, baby. Anchor down.
All right. So maybe some morale is up for Vanderbilt, knowing that their QB will be back next year. All right. D-Mace has the final pick, trying to vault up the standings.
Yes.
With one last shot.
I'm going with this pick. This is to win. Who will reign supreme in the state of Texas. This game will crown the best team in the state of Texas. I'm going to the Serve Pro First Responder Bowl. Gerald J. Ford Stadium in Dallas, Texas. I'm going with North Texas over Texas State, the battle of the state. Yes. Who's going to reign supreme in the state of Texas? The battle of who's going to be the best team in Texas. I'm going with North Texas.
The Mean Green.
13 and a half
North
point
Texas Mean
Dogs.
Green.
They're 13 and a half point dogs.
I can't even find this bowl game now.
I'm
What's
telling
my
you,
problem?
It's the Gerald
Did you
J.
Make this
Ford
up?
Stadium. It's the Serve Pro First Responder Bowl.
So you're going
what
with
– Do they have, both, they have stadiums on both sides?
North Texas.
North
yeah.
Texas.
Because they're playing in –
Oh, it's on Friday, January 3rd.
Yeah.
Friday, January 3rd.
Well, that's my problem.
Not okay. even a real bowl.
That is a real bowl. it's in January.
It's a January bowl game.
Exactly.
Hey. Texas State. And what's the line again?
North Texas.
The Mean Green is a
13 and a half.
Ooh, that's yeah. more than I would have thought. All right. Uh-huh. Wow, that's a big game.
Taking them.
On January 3rd, uh-huh. you're going to be dialed into this
game.
Oh,
I'm watching this game.
Yeah, because this could get you in a second. It could be for the silver medal.
All the five stars are going to be in this one.
All right, before we get to the people's pick, and by the sure. way, do we have a contestant ready to make the people's pick? Or
Not
do we
yet.
Need to get them? All right.
We
so
need one, so call us.
Yeah, call now. Let's see who's out there doing some last-minute Christmas shopping, et cetera. 615-737-1027. You can add this as a stocking stuffer, you know, to your all of the holiday cheer. And what's the prize again, Adam, for the if you win the people's pick?
A pair of tickets to see Gary Clark Jr. at the Ryman on Friday, March 7th.
Yeah, people, okay. we usually do it, you know, later in the week. We usually have yeah. silly underdogs later in the week, but today, because of the holiday, we are doing it today.
Yeah.
So if we
shot.
Don't
take
get a caller now, we will take a caller today.
And you can take a small underdog. That's what a lot of people have
yes.
done. You don't have to take a big underdog. All right, so here are the picks for the Bowl Draft Part 2. D-Mace, who right now is in a tie for third, trying to move up. He's got Washington State, a 16-point dog against Syracuse in the Holiday Bowl. Chase McCabe, who no-showed on the last day of picks. He delegates to David Janes, who, quote, knows ball.
Mm-hmm. Darn right.
Arkansas State. He could not give us a really big rundown of Arkansas State's lineup, strengths, weaknesses, yeah. but he says they are in Arkansas, and it is a state.
That's all you need to know.
7.5-point dog against Bowling Green in the 68 Ventures Bowl.
And they wear helmets.
They do wear helmets.
Sometimes.
Adam Vingan selects Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns, a 12.5-point dog against TCU in the New Mexico Bowl. Then Chris Sanders, on his way to another title, selects Duke, a 15-point dog against Ole Miss, even though he did slightly confuse Ole Miss and Mississippi State,
yeah.
but who cares? Actually, Nick Frazier's here. He probably does care.
Yeah, he
does love yeah. Mississippi State. All right, that game is going on a little bit later in the Gator Bowl. Then Chris's second pick, he goes UConn by 3 over UNC at Fenway Park in the Fenway Park Bowl. Adam trying to secure second place. His second pick is Illinois, a 9.5-point dog against South Carolina in Orlando in the Citrus Bowl, the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl.
The Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, thank
yes.
you.
And so if Adam finishes second, I think a furthermore tradition on New Year's Day will mm-hmm. be eat Cheez-Its and eat citrus
yeah.
on New Year's Day.
Together.
I think it's only fitting.
The and best combo.
UT, and have a UT hat on.
Then Chase took Vanderbilt through David Janes, 2.5-point dog against Georgia Tech in the Birmingham Bowl on December 27th, and D-May selects North Texas on January 3rd, a 13.5-point dog against Texas State. And what's the name of the bowl?
It's the Serve Pro.
The Serve Pro.
First Responder Bowl.
We have two names. It just doesn't make sense.
Hey, man.
Wow, that's a long
name. If they want to.
Are y'all there?
Hello?
I can't hear anything.
Yeah, we can't hear you guys. So Adam, just take over.
Okay, well, we are experiencing some technical difficulties. We will bring Willie and Derek back into the fold as soon as we can.
Hello?
I just have to say, I think Chris
Hello?
Sanders is here too. Hey, Chris.
And the winner's here. Isn't it all?
Chris,
I guess that's all that matters.
For
the winner's here.
It's just you and me for the next couple of minutes. We've lost Derek and Willie, you know, for the time being. As I said, Chris, you pulled on my heartstrings by picking Duke, and then you picked Carolina to lose. So I guess I can't be mad at you.
I guess I can't be mad at you.
Hey, since it's Christmas, I'm going to cheer that you win second place.
Okay, I appreciate that. If Willie and Derek could hear that, I'm sure they wouldn't appreciate that or Chase. But either way, we will get back. Chris, happy holidays.
You
Merry
too, my
Christmas,
friend.
My friend.
You
we will
care.
Talk to you soon. 615-737-1025. We will get these technical difficulties wrapped up. We're going to break. Adam Vingan here, 1025-1063, the game.
The first round is now complete. All home teams won. They not only won, but they won by double digits. What is your biggest takeaway from this first weekend of the 12-team playoff?
That I hope next year the committee won't get caught up in what the social media and a lot of people who are fringe fans get caught up in, which is wins. They had 11 wins. They must be good. Who did they beat? I think is much more important than how many wins you have. That's old school way of approaching it. Has not, you know, Indiana having 11 wins and beating nobody, that doesn't mean they're one of the 12 best teams. Remember, I know, Linda, I'm not taking this out on you, but there's a big difference between deserving and best.
Yeah.
What this is all about is giving us the best 12 teams. Now, it's subjective. How you want to figure out the best 12 is up to you. But that's what I want to see. I don't want to hear about wins. How many wins? Winning's obviously important, but just because you have 11 wins doesn't mean you're better than a team that maybe had a tougher road that had 9 wins. So I think we get too caught up in how many wins you have. It's really more about who are the best 12 teams, and we need to get the best 12 teams in this tournament every year.
It's a
That was Kirk Herbstreit of ESPN discussing the first round of the college football playoff. Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Gentlemen, what are your thoughts on what Kirk Herbstreit had to say?
You know, I heard that, and I was comparing it, at least in my mind. I don't have the recording of it, but he was much stronger in that opinion than he was on the day they announced the brackets themselves. Nick Saban was saying this from the start. Nick Saban came out very strong before they announced the brackets, that he felt like strength of schedule was being undersold. My point is, the basketball has gone with strength of schedule for decades. That has always been what the committee did. And for this, for whatever reason, this committee seemed to lean much more towards the traditional one loss. Hey, you only got one loss. Hey, you only got two losses. And so I agree with Kirk Herbstreit. I just was wondering why he came out so strong after the fact and not before the brackets were announced, where he was much more riding the fence. And I thought Nick Saban was kind of on his own making this argument, and he put himself out there. I agreed 100% with Nick Saban for all the reasons he said, even though you could probably view that as he was angling for Alabama to get in. But I really think he believes that. He has always believed that, that you should value strength of schedule and get the best teams in. And that would fall in line with how the tournament selection committee does their job in basketball and even in the other sports like baseball. They talk about strength of schedule all the time.
Yeah, they do. What I don't understand is this. Is he just saying that because Indiana – lost in the fashion that they did? Is that why he's bringing it up? Because it's
right. That's why it's more hollow to me. Until the four teams get blown out, and then you go out and say.
But he just pointed out Indiana. Tennessee got mollywhopped too. Clemson basically got mollywhopped, even though they made it a game toward the latter part. SMU got mollywhopped. So why did he only bring up Indiana? I think because that's been a whole talking point for the last 3 weeks. Is just Indiana. Indiana doesn't deserve to be in. Indiana doesn't deserve to be in. Indiana did deserve to be in. They won the games that were on their schedule. They lost one of them during the regular season. They won every other game on their schedule. And then he says it shouldn't go to the most deserving team anymore. Well, who should it go to? I thought that's what sports was about.
It's a different definition of
deserving. No. I thought that's what sports was about. You play your schedule, and the most deserving teams get in. If that's the case, Tennessee didn't deserve to get in because they got mollywhopped.
But they play
SMU,
a tougher schedule.
It doesn't matter what one may deem as tougher schedule than not. The end results were they went and got their tails beat up north by Ohio State.
SMU got their tails beat. Clemson basically for three quarters got their tails beat. So do you believe those teams were deserving to be in? I'm pretty sure he would say yes, because the only team he brought up was Indiana. Listen, Indiana won the games that were on their schedule. Okay, they ran into two very good teams, two of the top teams in the country. They y'all act like Indiana lost versus a 21st ranked team. Both of their games, they lost to a good Michigan team. Even though I hate Michigan, Michigan is a solid team. They beat Michigan. They lost to Ohio State, who was the number one team in the country, I believe, or the number two team in the country.
But the fact is, they didn't beat a top 25 team. They didn't beat them.
I understand, but they beat everybody else on their schedule.
Yes, they did.
And they lost to two top-ranked teams. Two.
Yes, they did.
You're talking about top five teams. UT lost to three teams.
This is the nuance.
Four, yeah, three.
This is the nuance part of the discussion, is the teams in the Big Ten and the big conferences that now have 16 teams. They can't control. You can't play everybody in your league. You're only going to play half the teams in your league. So on a given year, it's not really Indiana's fault that they didn't play more of the top teams in the Big Ten in the regular season. Like, they didn't play Penn State. Mm-hmm. That's not their fault. That's just how the league schedule went. So that's the problem, Adam. It's different for other teams. But Nick Saban's point, as he makes every year, it's not they just made it this year out of nowhere. He's been making it every year. Why are we incentivizing teams to go play somebody outside of your league to strengthen your schedule if it's not going to help you in situations like this?
But every team
does
it. Indiana
doesn't play anybody.
But every team does it. Every team outside of their schedule, outside of their conference. Am I lying? If I'm lying, please, one of y'all tell me. Adam, you, Willie. If I am lying, every team in the country does this in regards to their out-of-conference schedule. Majority of the teams, they schedule cupcakes. Now, they may have a tough team in there.
At least
between.
One. That's sort of the rule of thumb, is you go get one, like Georgia played Clemson early in the season.
But for the most part, after
Alabama went to Wisconsin, that at least on paper is a tougher matchup. Most years, when you schedule that, you think, okay, that's going to be a good non-conference win if we can get it. Go on the road and beat Wisconsin, which you know is a tough place to play. You know if you're Boise State, you got to go get one. They played Oregon, but SMU and Indiana really didn't have that game on their schedule. So that was another knock on them, Adam. Am I right that they didn't have even one of those where they could show the committee, hey, we can't help it if that's our ACC schedule. But here we went and played so-and-so, and we beat them. They didn't have that. And so they were granted access into this tournament as at-larges without beating a top 25 team during the season. That's the flaw in a lot of people's minds.
6-1-5-7.
I was surprised that Herb Street went out so strong with this after the fact, when he could have done that the day of the brackets. He didn't really do it.
But all of this is based on what Indiana did. That's why everybody's causing such a fuss.
And SMU.
No, it's really Indiana that they got in. Nobody's complaining really about SMU.
Oh, Alabama's Clemson. Complaining about SMU.
Alabama, yes, but not as a whole. Alabama isn't a whole as much as we may think.
We do have to table this conversation for now. 615-737-1025. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.